wrong. But just so I can speak and take away your thought process of wondering what it is, your sins are in the grave. Because Jesus paid the price for your sins. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. I wasn't with you yesterday. I wasn't with you this morning. I wasn't with you a week ago. But you did something that you wasn't supposed to do that God didn't want you to do. And guess what? That's in the grave, y'all. You ain't got to bring that back up. Nobody's going to find out because the price has already been paid. So we have been what? Set free. That's a victory. That's just one victory, right? That one victory. Now, if we were to take our sanctified mind and go back through our life, how many times we did not do what God wanted us to do, we couldn't add up that number, could we? Don't get depressed. Don't get depressed. Get excited, because I don't care how many times it might have been, all of that's been paid for, and that's buried in the grave. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. I was just, y'all, excuse me. I got a praise party. I thank you, Lord, that you took away my, I thank you, Lord, every time I just, I thank you, Lord, when I went on my own way. I thank you, Lord, when I kept picking up that thing that I had did, and I wouldn't let it go. It was like the yo-yo going up and down, and I was in love with it. I thank you, Lord, that you paid the price. So now I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm no longer bound by those things that people saw. I'm no longer bound by your judgment or my judgment. I'm no longer bound by society's judgment. I'm no longer bound by the devil telling me you ain't no good or you ain't never going to be no good. Oh, yes, I am. I am free. I am wonderfully and marvelously made, and nobody can draw me back. Nobody can bring me back. Nobody can grab a hold of me. When you try to get, I got all in one. I mean, you're going to slide off if you ain't of God. You can't hold on to me. This is not like the frogs in the crab. No, you got to let go, because I've been anointed by the Lord of the Father, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And guess what? You can't hold on if you ain't got the Holy Ghost. That's a somebody. They've been trying to hold on to you. You just got to shake them off. They can't hold on. You slippery because you got the anointing. They can't grab hold. They strength ain't that tight. They'll make you think. They'll talk about your mind and commit, but they can't hold on because the Lord has set you free. That's a somebody. That was a free. That's just from God. That's just from God. Next slide. Next slide. So the first thing, next slide, Sister Beverly. First thing is, who's in the grave with you? Next slide, Sister Beverly. Thank you. Who's in the grave with you? That's the question. That's the question. Well, today I want you to understand what the word says. So when you walk out of here, you walk in victory. People perish for a lack of knowledge. You won't be without knowledge of who's in the grave. But first, let's go to Romans 6, 3 and 4. It's there. It's there. It says what? Know ye not. Let me explain first. When Paul wrote this letter, he had not been to Rome. He had never visited Rome. He wrote this letter, but he was concerned about the believers in Rome. So when he wrote this letter, he was writing to them that they would have a better understanding of who Jesus was and why he came and why he died. They would have a better understanding of how Jesus gave them victory over the things that they were struggling with. So if I could just fast forward you, Jesus is sending this letter from the letter of Romans and Paul to us today so we can understand, just like the Romans church had to understand, how awesome our God is. Does that make sense? The word does not return. It's for us. He said, first off, as he'd been going through chapters 1 through 4 and 5, and he said, look, and here in 6 and 3 says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized what? Into his death. See, we hear about what? We're baptized with the Holy Ghost, right? We hear about when we go down in the pool, what? I believe you, Jesus. I accept you, Jesus. So I'm baptized. What? I confess it with my mouth and believe it in my heart. Then what? You got to suffer the water baptism? It's not new to us. Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? John the Baptist had to do what? Baptize Jesus down into the water. Down into the water. He said, here's the one. He says, so we were baptized not only with what, but into his death. So what are you saying, preacher? We accepted Christ and are baptized, we took on the same thing that his death did. We're not the sacrifice, but because he loved us so much, he covered us with his death. Somebody, I want you to get that. When Jesus died, because you accepted him, you died with him. What does that mean? Let me make that point. When you died with him, that meant, because he was what? The sacrificial lamb. That meant all of your sins that you had committed, they died with him. Oh, somebody will say, so when you died with Christ, your sins died with Christ, and that was in the grave. See, we go from his death on the cross, we run to his resurrection. We don't want to talk about what the grave meant, but the grave meant something. It meant that it was final. So our sins are final. They die with Jesus. He says, so we're baptized in Christ, what? Baptized into his death. We accepted everything that Jesus did, and we became as if we were him. He justified us. He said, therefore, we are what? Buried with him by baptism in the death. That's not a very positive thing. How many of us like to think about death? Do I get one? Okay, let me rephrase that. How many of you are glad Jesus died? All right, see, but we don't like to think about death. But I get that. I'm in the same place. But he said, just as we were buried with him by baptism to death, that light. Now look at here. Here's your benefit. Here's your glory. Here's your shout. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Oh, Christ, we know he was raised up, right? How many of you know he got up? How many of you believe he? No, don't fool me now. It's Easter. I get that. It's Resurrection Sunday. But do you really believe it down in the depths of your heart that no matter what anybody say, they come to your door, they grab you by the throat, you're going to still say, Christ rose, and I don't care what you say, because he's my Savior. So if you know that when he got up, guess what it said? The Father in heaven glorified him by raising him up. He accomplished his mission. He was the best SEAL team. He was the best Army Ranger. He was the best Green Beret, because he accomplished his mission. He died, but he got raised up. Look at what the rest of that verse in 4 said. Even so, we also should what? Walk. We can walk in the what? Newness of life. Because if Jesus got up and showed himself, we got up and we show ourselves. Hallelujah. I can show you that it ain't about me. Don't bring up the old me. Who is it? It's about the Christ that sent me. I got up out of my sinful grave. Why? Because Jesus got up. Ooh. If ever we needed the Lord, we sure do need him now, right now. We used to sing that song. If ever the world needs to know Jesus, they sure do need to know him now, right now. Just read the newspaper. Just look at what's going on. We're so infatuated with every negative story here, there, and everywhere, because that sells, y'all. But what about the good story? What about the son or the daughter that was raised up in Jesus? What about our young people who are accomplishing so much? They don't want to talk about that. They talk about, but that's because that's what the world do. But guess who we talk about? We do just like the woman who went to the grave and Jesus wasn't there. And when Jesus showed us, he said, go tell somebody. And they ran to go tell somebody. We got to tell this sin sick world that Jesus rose. He got up and I got a new life. I got a new home. I got a new hope. I got a new song to sing. I got a new voice. Y'all need to understand, I couldn't sing if I didn't have a new voice also. Y'all still think I can't sing, but I'm going to sing to the glory of God, and that's all right. I know he lives. I know he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Why? Because he walks with me, and he talks with me a long life near away, and I'll never stop singing till Jesus comes to get me, because I know I got newness of life. Newness. Who's in the grave with you? Jesus took your place. So you ain't in the grave no longer. If you got Jesus, you got up out of the grave, because Jesus left his victory in the grave for them to do what they want with it. He said, but you walk and you talk and you live a different life. You live a victorious life. You live a life that's full of victory, prosperity. You live a life that God just above and exceeding anything you could possibly imagine. But it ain't just there. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we find that we see this situation in 1 Corinthians. That's where we ended up in our book on Torn. So what? Verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also what you have received, and wherein ye stand. For I delivered in verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that what? Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. So Paul was consistent no matter where he had been to Corinth. He had seen them and talked with them and walked with them. He had not been to Rome, but he still had the same message. Y'all know our message don't change. The message we should be sending to Russia and Ukraine is Christ died for you and he rose for you. Not what political side or what situation we want to be on that most fits us best. No, Christ died and he rose. Whether you're in Russia, whether you're in Ukraine, whether you're in Haiti, United States, whatever city, he died and he rose. What? For victory for everybody. For the victory against the enemy. He's the champion. Isaiah spoke about it. Isaiah spoke about it in 53 and 80. He said, he was taken what? From prison and from judgment. But who shall declare his generation? For he was what? Cut off out of the land of the living. For what? The transgressions of the people. Jesus came. Y'all know he was judged from judgment hall to judgment hall to judgment hall. And even in the final creed, I find no fault in him. Guess what? They still wanted him to be crucified. And today, there are still those who want to crucify Jesus. When they're trying to crucify Jesus again, if you believe in the Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, they're trying to crucify you. How many, somebody told you, you ain't never going to be nothing again for the umpteenth time. You don't know what you're doing. Why did you do that again? I'm tired of hearing again. I'm tired of seeing the same things happen again. What about the newness again? Somebody saved again. Somebody victorious again. Somebody shouts praises again. Somebody say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper again. Let's talk about the victory of Jesus Christ again and again. He told the Romans, I know you over there where they told us we could only do so much. See, the Roman Empire said, you can have faith, you can worship, but it's got to be this way. In other words, according to the Roman Empire's customs. That's why some of the customs still exist today, because they got started in the empire. That's what was permissible. But thanks be to God, there were some that said, that ain't enough, Roman Empire. There's some more things that God wants us to do. And they went beyond what they were permitted to do, what Christ said do. So he was taken from judgment hall to judgment hall. Said, who's in the grave with you? Well, I don't want you to be confused today. Christ was in the grave, and when he went to the grave, he took your sins with him. Oh, Pastor Tate would say, hello, lights. Hello, lights. When nobody says anything, but it's for you, 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 you. Do you know today that Christ paid the price for your sins? You know, right? That means no matter what you did wrong or what you will do wrong, as you heard a couple of weeks ago, right? Somebody said, guess what? He didn't just do it for the past. He did it for everyone you're going to do. Isn't that right, Minister Lisa? Isn't that what you told him? Say, I got to share this word with you. Say, look, when he died for your sins, that's for not only the past sins, that's for your future sins. God said, I ain't got to come do that no more. I already done that. Will you stop thinking about that? Stop worrying about that. Because the more you give credit to worry about that thing, you can't do what I called you to do. Paul said, I ain't worried about nothing. Now, let me give you a little illustration on Paul. Paul had lived the best life. Paul wanted for nothing. Number two, number three in command, had a letter to go kill all Christians. But then Paul met Jesus. And when Paul met Jesus, something changed. He stopped trying to figure it out on his own, and he surrendered to God. Let me give an illustration to the story. There's a famous producer that used to make films, and his name was Alfred Hitchcock. Anybody remember Alfred Hitchcock? You know, most of us told he was a little strange, right? But he was a Christian, reared up in the Catholic Church, but he had this penchant for writing and producing movies that always had a strange end. They were designed they were designed to terrorize you. And so there's an episode, and I was a kid, and we weren't permitted to watch them, but mom and daddy would be asleep or whatever, and we would turn on channel 7. That's the station in Detroit back in them days. And we would sneak and turn the volume down low and watch Alfred Hitchcock. The man was fascinating. Who could think of these things? Well, you know about the movie Psycho and the movie Birds. I don't like crows and blackbirds now because of that movie Birds. My wife would tell you, every time I see her, I want to take them out. But that's okay. I leave them alone, right? I leave them alone. That movie ruined it for me. But I remember this episode clearly. There was this rich woman, and she had done some things wrong. And so they put her in prison. Well, in prison, when you're the rich person and you're with everybody, most common people don't like you. And so there was this lady, and I'm just going to call her Shirley, who ran the prison. And so you rich, you're going to do what I say, or I'm going to get you. And she jumped her. That's what they do in prison sometime. And they said, I ain't getting jumped no more. I got to get out of here. And she tried to do some things, got transferred to laundry. That didn't work. She got jumped again. Finally, she came up with this plan. Oh, there's a mortician. The mortician. And oh, by the way, guess what? He got bad eyesight. I'm going to convince him to get me out of here. And if he gets me out of here, I'll pay for your operation on your eyesight because I got money. And so she went to a mortician and said, yeah, I'll do that. So they came up with this plan. Whenever somebody died, there was a bell that was rung, which meant they're taking a dead body out. And so she said, well, the next time a body goes, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run down. I'm going to jump in the casket, the brown box that you take the dead body out. And I'm okay with that. And you're going to take me out and you can bury me because they're going to watch you. But after you bury me, I want you to come back later that night. And guess what? You're going to dig me up. So the plan, the mortician said, yep, I'm going to do that. I'll be glad to do that. I'll be glad to. And you're going to pay for my. So she worked out this plan. Next day, ding, 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 ding. Somebody died. She scurries over, grabbed a few things. She jumps in the box. They nail the box shut. They take the box out and they bury the box. I ain't got to get to the letter. Don't worry. The story is all about the story. So here she was. She figured, I got some time to waste before he come back and get me. Let me figure out who died in the prison. So she struck a match. And guess who was in the box? It was the mortician, which meant I ain't getting out of here. And she began to scream in torment because guess what? Her plan that she made had failed because the mortician died and she never thought about the mortician. Well, see, Christ knew all of that. So Christ said, I don't want you to try and figure this thing out. You're trying to figure out how to get out of your sin, how to get out of your situation. And he said, just trust me. I already paid the price. So don't end up like the lady in the box with a dead body, because that's where we're headed. End up with somebody who's got the power to give you victory. So in our lives today, we need to give it to Jesus Christ. We stop figuring it out. We can think about it all we want to. It can't change nothing. Only Christ is the giver of life. Only Christ gives us the victory so we can be a champion, what? Over and over and over. You know, any of y'all ever follow boxing? There's something about boxers, what they do. They didn't go to hit you in the head. Everybody thought, I want to knock you out in the head. No, when you're in boxing, they teach you to what? Go to the body first. Because when you go to the body, you take their strength and their energy away. That's what Christ does to us. He messes, not Christ, but what the enemy does to us. You know, I can't always get you here, but if I give you a body blow, I take your breath away. You know why he wants to take your breath away? So you don't call on the name of Jesus. Anybody in a situation have been where, you know, you just too sick, too tired, you couldn't call on the name of Jesus? When you can't call on him, guess who's calling? Jesus is. You know how he does it? Through the prayers of the righteous. He sent somebody. You don't even know they're praying for you, and he praying because that's what God does. So that's what, who's in the grave with you? Say, Jesus is in my grave. Now, what is your grave? So that you make clear, anything that's not of God is a grave for you. So if you got pride, that's a grave. If you got doubt, that's a grave. If you're fearful, that's a grave. All those things that are not of God, those are grave things. But guess what? You can pile them up in a corner. You can burn them up if you want to, but I don't need to do nothing. I just got to pass by. Why? Because Christ is already taking care of every bit of that. Second point today, the second point is the anatomy of Christ Jesus. Well, how did he accomplish this thing? It was because of his body. It was because of the body in Christ that he had and the way he did things and the way he does things for us. So in Romans 6, 5 through 8, he explains that. Paul said, I need to understand this. He said, for we have but been planted together. In other words, in the body, in the likeness of his death, we shall also what? In the likeness of his resurrection. Paul said, look, I'm taking you back to the beginning. How were we created? God created us what? In his image. His image. Y'all know when Jesus came to earth, he took on what? The form of a man, which is the same image that God created us in. Man and women talking in general. So both, all of us are included. So he took on that image. Why? So he could show us what? That we can be victorious. He said, I came to do the things that you couldn't do. So what? So you can have the same likeness, what? In his resurrection. If Jesus got up from the dead in human form, guess what? You will be raised up just like Jesus was. And when you believe in Christ, guess what? You are raised up. I know I'm in the right place. I know I've heard your testimonies. Why y'all so quiet about Jesus? I just got to ask the question. So it said, knowing this, that what? Our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might what? Be destroyed. This thing is going to be destroyed. We ought not lose our mind when somebody die, because this is not our final resting place. This is not our fight. We got a spiritual man, the soul, what? That's going up to heaven, that looks so much different. Hallelujah. He said what? That henceforth we should what? Not serve sin. Set a purpose. I don't want you to keep doing that thing that ain't no good for you. Sin brings about decay. Sin brings about destruction. Sin brings about fear. Sin brings about doubt. Sin brings about worrying. Oh, some of y'all ain't got no gray hair. But some folks, and my mama was one of them, colored it. I don't want you to know, my mama said, I don't want you to know how much y'all worry me. That's what she's telling. I want you to know how much y'all worry me. That's all right. Then one day she went, it don't matter. And she let it grow. So, ooh, Mama Gray. She said, yeah, that's my blessing. God has covered me to be blessed among women. So then we go say, for he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. Now look at verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that what? We shall also what? Live with him. I want you to focus on living with Christ. We have died. He died, so we died with him. But I want you to live with Christ. In today's society, in the world we face today, they do everything in their power to get us to live like the world. The only thing they don't tell you, if you live like the world, you're going to be treated like the world. If you're treated like the world, you're going to hurt. But can you imagine to be free to live without the hurt of the world, but the glory of Jesus? Said, knowing that what? Christ being raised from the dead, he dieth no more. Death has no more dominion. Death has no sting, and we'll get to that. And then we go, so I wanted to show you this picture of how the anatomy of Christ works and our anatomy works. All of our anatomies have a brain and a heart, right? Y'all, that's real. If I had Dr. Morrow here, he could explain this in real good detail. So, but he's doing his thing, and he's a doctor now. He's a doctor, y'all. He's going to graduate real soon. Thank you, Lord. But we have a brain or a heart. Now, which do you think is the most important of the two? How many think the brain? How many think the heart? All right. Why is that? It's because of Christ. It's also because of medicine. The brain sends messages to do things in the body, but the brain cannot tell the body to stop living. Can't do that. That's right. Thank you, Nurse Deborah. The brain can't tell the body. The brain can stop functioning. The heart will keep pumping. But let the heart stop, and the brain will stop. And that's by design, because Christ didn't come to speak to our mind. He came to what? Speak to our hearts. all throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament, New Testament, talks about how we talked 2 weeks ago, what, how the heart is pure, how the issues of life come out of the heart. Our heart is what breathes into us and give us what? The ability to go on. Christ said, I don't want your brain because that ain't going to matter. That can't keep you. But if I get your heart and I'm in your heart, that's where he resides. Now you can not only live physically, but when the physical stops, you will live forever because of what's in your heart. He didn't say, believe it in your mind only. He said, confess with your mouth what that you believe that what? Christ raised him and what? And believe it in your heart. That's the anatomy of Christ. Christ's heart loves us so much that he can never give up on us. His heart loves us so much that it bleeds for us. It flows for us. Now, getting where I'm going, don't you? Because he shed his blood. It came out of his heart that what? He wanted us to be covered. The heart pumps blood, right? Nothing else in the body pumps the blood. When the heart pumps the blood, you know what it does? When Christ's heart is pumping, as he's sitting there beside the Father up in heaven, his heart is pumping. It's showing you the blood. The blood that covered you, the blood that was shed, the blood that what paid for your sin, the blood that buried it in the tomb, the blood that was in that grave, the blood said, what, I'll never lose my power. So that's because he knows we're going to live forever. The anatomy of Christ's body. And we talked what last week about all the ventricles and places in the heart that we have to what? Allow the blood to flow to drive out the darkness we didn't even know was there. There's some things that come in your way you don't even know they're coming because you ain't never thought about them. One day it's going to hit your mind and, ooh, I never thought about that. God says, it's covered. I'll just push a little more blood. My blood still covers. I'll send it to take that away. You get an ache in your, I'll send it away. Some of y'all ain't old enough yet to know. This is what I love about Christ. My daddy used to tell me, say, son, when you look in the mirror, there's an old man coming to your house. And I was young. And he goes, he don't know what he talking about. I'm going to be young forever. Dad just full of that old stuff, right? I keep looking in the mirror. I keep looking in the mirror. Folks keep leaving here. And folks keep dying. And ancestors keep going. And now all of a sudden, I ain't the young one anymore. I'm the old one. There ain't but a few older than me. Daddy gone, granddaddy gone, grandmama gone. They keep moving. And guess what? Now we grandma and grandpa and papa and everything else. Why? Because when I look in the mirror, older has come. Now, I ain't old. I ain't old, but I am older. You older. As you keep living, there's some things that we need to understand. No matter how old we are, Christ ain't changed. Christ has not changed. So what are you saying, preacher? What are you saying? Well, I'm saying I'm going to look at it. The anatomy of Christ is wrapped up in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57. It says, when this corruptible shall do what? Put on incorruption. When you accept Christ Jesus as your Savior, you put off the corruptible part of his body and you put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. You going to die as you look at this body that you live in. It's death coming to you. You can pay all the money you want. You can be cryo-freeze and everything else till they get it. Body's going to die. That's the reality. But guess what? When you put on immortality and you put on Jesus Christ, there is no dying. There is no more crying about it. There is no more worrying about it because your immortality is wrapped up, tied up, tangled up, is buried in the grave because sin is gone. And now you live for Christ. This shall be brought to pass. The sin is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Somebody say, thank you, Lord God, that the victory is in Jesus Christ, who died was for sin, who buried that sin in a grave, and that grave is there, not empty because Christ ain't there, but your sins were buried in that grave, never to come back. Don't be the one that wake up one day and realize you're still there. My God. So what do we do? What do you mean, preacher? What do you do? Christ's heart was so big, it wasn't just for him. It was for everybody. Salvation is not just for us. It's for everybody. I want you to see this new victory. If you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, it don't matter if they die in a shootout. It don't matter what happens to them, a car crash or any situation of the world. If they know Christ, they shall not die. Yeah. but live. So it's on us that we share the truth with somebody that they know about Jesus Christ, that they understand about Jesus Christ. Because once they got that, they got a new body. They got a new lease on life. And guess what? You can say to the enemy, I know this is too old, talk to the hand. Why do I say that? Why did they say that? We come and we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday. And we all know it. But I want us to begin to see it's more than a celebration to say thank you. It becomes our way of life.
Yes.
Paul was so convinced, even though he had not been to Rome, the most influential place in our faith that had to do with the Roman Empire covering up Christ, he still said, I can make a difference. There's somebody out there today. Somebody out there today that needs to be encouraged for Christ.
Yeah.
I went to the store yesterday, and as I was on one corner, there was a man on the other corner, and he had a sign. The Lord said, give him something. I was going the wrong way. He was on that corner. So, okay, I'm going to go and drive through the parking lot and come all the way around so I can. And while I was sitting there, the man just got despondent and folded up his sign and started walking. He walked across, and then he walked across the street, and he didn't care about the cars coming. He just walked on across the street. He was that despondent. Spiritually, he's despondent. Then he walked across. This is a major Randall Road, y'all. Major cars traveling 50 miles an hour. He just walked, and he just walked. I said, okay, God, I got to go find him. And I whipped around through the car parking lot and came around and came back and went into the Myers Park, and I didn't see him. I didn't see. I don't know where he went. God said, he's covering. Just pray for him. So I stopped and just prayed for him. I said, Lord, you told me to give him this, but I can't give because I can't find him. But Lord, I know you'll cover him. Didn't know who he was. I'd remember the clothes he had on, but I stopped and prayed because God said, cover, he's covered. And I heard that he's covered. So because of that, I said, thank you, Lord, for teaching us. We don't always have to be able to touch, but we ought to pray.
Yeah.
But when we can touch and when we can share and tell, we ought to tell somebody. Because
yeah.
Somebody ready to give up.
My God.
Anybody in here ever wanted to give up?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Anybody ever wanted to give up?
Yeah.
Are you happy that somebody came to your rescue?
Yes.
Somebody said, I got time for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody said, I got a word for you. Somebody said that, guess what? The most unlikely of sources. Might have been somebody walking in the store, somebody on your job. You need to know something? Because of Christ and he buried sin in the grave, as God sits at the right hand of the Father, he constantly petitions the Father, have mercy on my children.
Jesus.
So the next time you think it ain't worth it, we're celebrating this Resurrection Sunday. Just know God said, have mercy on my children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today we're going to celebrate communion. Did everybody get communion cups? Anybody without them? If you need, come on, raise your hand and Sister Sheila will make sure you get some. We're not walking around yet. And you can take your mask off. I didn't do my housekeeping earlier. When you're seated in your pews, you can take your mask off. We're okay. So they'll bring communion. They'll bring some communion. We'll wait. We'll wait. And as we go to celebrate the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. He ain't dead, y'all. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Sister Jerry, can you help Sister Sheila? Can you take one side and she can take the other side? Hallelujah. 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 Because we want us to remember what Christ did. It was not a mistake. It was designed for you.
Yeah.
It was designed for me. It's designed for our babies. They're back there learning today who Christ is.
Yeah.
And they need to see us not forget. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? I've got one. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. 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 If it's two in there, don't worry. Just we're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. But as we begin to gather together and understand, I got one more slide to share with you as we're preparing for the Lord's Supper. The next two slides, Sister Beverly, says the anatomy of Christ. It begins with because of the anatomy of Christ. The word says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 8, we are to be steadfast, unmovable, what always abound in his word. Because of the anatomy of Jesus Christ, we can be blameless and alike. That's what it tells us in Philippians 2, 15. Because of the anatomy of Christ, he tells us to do what? Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. And when we put on the whole armor of God, it didn't stop there because you put it on. Verse 18, 19 said what? And pray and pray and pray what? In the spirit to be the light. That's what it says in Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. And because we are the cause of the anatomy of Jesus Christ, we live not under the law, but we what? Walk in the fruit of the spirit. You know the fruits of the spirit. You've read Galatians 5 and 22 to 25. If you haven't, go read it. But it talks about all the things there, not just love and joy and peace, but it talks about long suffering. Long suffering is a gift from God of the Spirit. Why? Because you ain't got to worry because the victory is already. When folks are losing their mind and acting up, that's all right. Just be still and pray because watch what God will do. Then it says, because of the anatomy of Jesus Christ, we present our bodies what? As a living sacrifice and what? Be not conformed to the world. Because of the anatomy of Jesus Christ, we have this victory that was given to us by Jesus Christ, not because of. Not by anybody else, not by Buddha, anybody, but you can believe it. But it was because Jesus Christ. He died. Yeah. He rose. And he lives. Yeah. Who's in the grave with us? Jesus went to the grave. Yeah. And guess what he did? When he got up, he canceled our sin. So who's in the grave? The sin. Jesus got in the grave for us. Because we were baptized into him, it's just like we went. And because of that, we have what? Victory. Guess what? We can never be what? Defeated. We are the only ones that are undefeated. Oh, I'm a sports buff, you know. I ain't talking about my wife's team now. But I'm going to use it as an illustration. Big Ten is Big Ten. That's a bigger conference, right? Everybody has their individual schools, right? Northwestern, Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, Illinois. I can count them down, right? We all like our school. But guess what? When it's not our school, then there's the biggest for the conference, right? For the Big Ten conference over the other conferences, right? That's a bigger scope. That's a bigger scope. And that's a wonderful thing. And I get happy when I hear people praise what others done in the Big Ten. I said earlier about the engineer. Brother Kevin posted something before I even knew it about engineers from the Big Ten. And he said, look, guess what? We should be excited. And we know about this one and that one. And I went, hey, that's my cousin. I didn't hear about that yet. I got off to what I saw, called my cousin, yeah, she just got that done. I said, okay, well, praise the Lord. That was Big Ten, right? That's big. But let me tell you what's bigger than Big Ten. Jesus is bigger than Big Ten. He's bigger than state. He's bigger than north to south, east to west. And so now we're part of a bigger body, just the body of Christ. I don't care what color. I don't care what country. I don't care what denomination. It's about Jesus Christ. So we love Jesus Christ. Whosoever will, let him come. We ought to be concerned, even right around here in this neighborhood, even in the neighborhoods down in Chicago, even in the neighborhoods in Bolingbrook and North Chicago, even in the neighborhoods of Mississippi and Alabama, even in the neighborhoods of Russia and Ukraine, even in the neighborhoods of China, and yes, there are Christian churches in China, even in Japan, even in South and North Korea, there's still some Christians in those countries. Why? Because of the body of Christ. So the next time we want to dig in, and I ain't saying we ain't going to dig in, let's remember the bigger piece, the one who died for us. So as we come, we're going to pray that we will consume the supper. And as we prepare to leave this place, I'll just tell you now, and go to our many different places. They went to the Mount of Olives. We don't have that place. However you're celebrating today for this Resurrection Sunday, we're praying God's peace upon you. Some of you have traveled a long way. Some of you are local. Some of you received the invitation. But the invitation I'm giving you today is to go tell somebody. We got to tell somebody. Somebody's life might be required of them tomorrow. And they don't know Christ. And we had the opportunity to say, do you know Jesus loves you? And that's all it might take. Do you know Jesus loves you?